He's saying, provide a sacrifice, Lord. Provide me a scapegoat. Provide me somebody I can lay all my sins on and run them into the wilderness. And guess what? That prayer is answered in Jesus. He took your sins and your sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore His sins, our sins in His body, on the tree, the Bible says. That's what He does. But if I'm not praying, I'm not drawing down on that truth. I don't rise up in the day and walk through life on kingdom ground because I'm always running for the shadows, hoping God doesn't see me. We're like Adam of old, are we not? Hiding because we feel naked. We feel embarrassed. I heard about a preacher who went to a door one day. It was 2 weeks ago. The preacher went to the door, missed the lady. He's out in his garden. He knocked on the door. And he left her a card, you know. And he figured she was there, but she didn't answer. So he left a card and he put a verse on it. Put Revelation 3:20. And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Well, that Sunday she came to church and she left the card back in the offering plate. And in the offering plate, the card had another verse on it. And it was Genesis 3:10. It said, "I heard thee in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked, so I hid myself." So she gave it back to him. So she said, "I can't come to the door right now." So that just, you know, that was on Christian radio. I just wouldn't say that just anyway. But. Okay, so they said it was okay to say. I thought I'd share that with you. But you and I, we feel that way, don't we? Don't we? You get in front of God, you start feeling a little bit vulnerable, embarrassed. And we're like Adam, we're trying to hide from God. And guess what? You can't hide. And I say that, but you know that already, and that's why sometimes we walk around with our head down and we're trying to do as little damage as we can. Well, the Bible says in verse 4, "Forgive us our sins, just as we forgive everyone indebted to us." And we feel embarrassed. And the Bible says, "And lead us not into temptation." And the word "lead" is the idea of a current that draws us to God. Don't draw us to you through temptation. You know what we're saying? We're saying, "I'm going to get my sins forgiven because I've forgiven other people. I'm going to be on target. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be easy to people as God is easy to me. I'm going to be easy on people as I'm easy on myself. And when I do that, I won't need to be led through trials and temptation." You see, God does take you through trials to prove you. I was reading a psalm this past week that was all about, "God, we didn't do anything wrong. We can't think of anything wrong. Why are you not opening up your blessings to us? Everything seems to be going wrong. Our enemies are..." I thought, man, I can't... I'm reading this. I'm thinking, what am I reading? I had to go back and read it. I said, really? They don't know anything? And here it is. And so I went and chased the commentators. But you know, the commentators didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know who, where, and how this psalm came about. But somehow these guys were not doing anything wrong and everything was going wrong. And they were complaining to God. And I'm reading about that, and I thought, I know why they were going through that. They were going through that just like you and I go through that. God takes us through hard times sometimes so that we can show forth our testimony to the world. Now, we understand that on this side of the Old Testament, but he's saying, you ask that God don't have to lead you through that hardship, that storm, and deliver us from the evil one. Because the evil one is after you. And the article is in the original, "The Evil." And it is, in fact, talking about the evil, which is embodied in Satan himself. Now, that's our list of our paradigm, right? There's our paradigm. And the paradigm talked about the kingdom things, our personal things, talked about our real needs. And our real needs are that we would be relationally right with those around us and with God. You know, forgiving and being forgiven, right? That's relational. You know, when we come to these times of the year, we are all about getting when we're little. Get, me, gotta have this. You know, we're all about getting. When we grow up, it's all about giving. Hopefully. Some of us haven't grown up yet. I mean, you know, there's always a little kid in all of us. We want stuff. But the fact is that when you get older, you begin to look at the world differently. How can I be a blessing to them? What can I give? What do my kids want? I want to bless them. You know, you start out, you say, "We're only going to spend $5 this year on Christmas," right? Each person. Amen. You got to do that, though, because if you don't say, "I'm only going to spend $5 or $10 on a kid," you're going to end up spending $500. Okay, so if you start at 20, "Oh, we're going to spend $100. It never starts. If you say, "I'm going to spend $100, you're going to spend $200. Okay? It never... So you got to kind of fool yourself. Sort of like those people who set their watches back up about three or four minutes. How many of you set your watches 4 or 5 minutes ahead? Yeah, see? You're guilty, all these people. You can't fool yourself. You know. I know, because that's set 3 or 4 minutes ahead, and I know, and I still go on. I think I got 3 more minutes, and you don't know I think all that much while I'm preaching. Wait a minute. Did I say that? Stop. You all behave now. I'm trying to do something up here, okay? But so what we have is we have the paradigm of prayer. And we understand it's about giving as we're in this world. Secondly, what I want you to see is the Lord didn't stop there. It says in verse 5, and he said unto them. He's trying to make a point further because there's a problem of prayer. The problem of prayer. And he brings that out. He says, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him by night and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And his friend shall say from within the house, trouble me not, the door is shut, and my children are in bed, and I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise to give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. What is he saying? He's trying to show us the problem of prayer. And what is the problem of prayer? Well, I mentioned one. We kind of feel implicated when we pray because we know we got all kinds of this darkness down inside our core. You know, you start turning your eyes in, and what you're going to find is darkness. You're going to find some stumbling stones and stumbling blocks and things that you're struggling with. And God knows that. And you know, it's just like your child. Folks, listen. I remember when Craig was little and he was trying to button his buttons, you know, and one day he got them buttoned and we taught him a verse, you know, and he had known this verse before, but when he got the button, we got the video, it's up in his face, you know, and it's like, I can do all things through Christ. It's very cute. And I know he's not so cute now, but he was cute when he was little, okay? But I can do that because he knows I love him. But the whole concept is that there was a time when he couldn't do the button. And we didn't berate him for that. And you may be struggling, and God doesn't berate you. God loves you. He says, come unto me. He says, pray. He's going to say, ask, and you will receive. Things like that. But listen, what is he saying about this problem of prayer? Verse 5 says, which of you have a friend? Now, he starts out with a friend scenario, and it says at midnight, you're going to go to this friend's house. Now, folks, listen, don't come to my house at midnight. Because I won't be very friendly. No, just kidding. The concept is, though, think about it. If you're in home and you're in bed, and somebody has the audacity to come to you in the middle of the night and say, listen, I just got my relatives in. I need some food to put before them, and I don't have any. Now, you know right away, if I put you in the position of the guy in bed, you would get up. You might be in your robe, and your hair might be tousled. You might be a little frustrated with the person. But you'd probably give them food, wouldn't you? You'd probably do that. You'd probably get up and you wouldn't begrudge it because you'd understand it. Now there's some things here about the problem of prayer I want you to see. First of all, the problem we have with prayer is many times the scenario here is that it's at midnight, and that's because sometimes the problem is we feel it's inconvenient to God. That somehow God's going to be inconvenient by me asking him something. By me going to God, I might be doing that, it might be an inconvenience, but you know what? Remember this, God is not the one who slumbers and sleeps. The Bible says, he that guardeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. There's never a midnight with God, there's never a time when it's inconvenient. You say, well, I messed up. God knows. So he'll come anyway. Well, I haven't prayed for a while. God knows that too. Pray anyway. And he's telling us there's not ever an inconvenient time. God is always ready to answer prayer. I remember years ago, E.B. Hill brought a message that was so cool about how that when people will take the gumption to just ask, that God leans up on his throne and says, there's somebody finally asking. Do you know God wants to be asked? Don't you want to be asked sometimes? Don't you just want the kids to say, honey, or mom or dad, would you do this for me? Can you help me out? You know, sometimes you just don't do it because they won't ask you. What about husbands and wives? Well, he just asked me, I did. But he ain't asked me, so I ain't doing it. You know what? God answers so many prayers you never prayed in that emotion right there because you thought it was too inconvenient to pray or you were too proud to pray. The problem is that we need to really get our minds around who God is. God is good, and God is always available to you and me. It's like when President Kennedy was in the office back in the 60s and his kids had carte blanche in the White House and in the Oval Office. Nothing was going on that their kid, he made it a rule, you kids can walk right in and get up in my lap and anything you need, I'm here. You've seen the picture perhaps, the black and white pictures. You know, when you were that old, back then everything was in black and white. My pictures were in black and white. Now, Kenny's pictures are chiseled in stone. Just kidding. Anyway, generational thing. Anyway. But the whole concept is you've seen that picture perhaps in the Kennedy's White House where the kids are underneath the Oval Office, the desk there in the Oval Office. My point? God's always available. He says, lend me three loaves. Now, interesting thing about that is that he's saying lend. Okay? Lend me three loaves. You know what? Whenever you go to God, you're asking for a favor. You know? We don't like to ask for favors. You ever have to, no, I got this. And somebody, you're carrying 50 things, you know? When we got married, Linda carried everything. I got pictures of her carrying everything. We got to the honeymoon place up there in Niagara Falls, and she had everything. And then finally one day it occurred to her, she was carrying everything. Jig was up. She said, honey, you got to help me. You know what? But sometimes we say, no, I got this, you know? Little lady we had in a church back in Pennsylvania, she used to come in with everything all piled up. She said, this is my lazy man's load. She wouldn't take two trips. She should have. She was an older lady. And she needed to take two trips, but she'd carry everything. We say, God, I got this. I got this. And we don't want to ask God for a favor. But what we have to realize about who God is that everything we get from Him is a favor. By definition, grace is the favor of God on you. He wants to do it for you. He wants you to ask. And the passage says, lend me three loaves. And we understand and feel, and this is a problem for us, that we don't deserve it sometimes. We don't want to ask, but also we don't feel like we deserve it. How do you get what you want? You need to go to your friend, and you need to ask him. And you need to realize it is a favor, and you need to accept that, and it will keep you humble. You know, you spend time in his presence, you'll have a humble disposition. All this pride that just seeds on us in America because we have so much can be kind of governed a little and brought down a few notches just by spending some time in prayer. He also says that he has a good reason for his ask. You know, don't you like to have a good reason to ask God for something? This guy says, would you lend me this because I have a friend who came? Now, folks, I want you to understand, our rationale for our request is oftentimes self-defeating. Why? Because we ask and we receive not, because we ask amiss. You know when you're asking for some things that that's really not what you should be praying for. You ask and you receive not, for you ask amiss. You ask and receive not, for you ask that you might consume it upon your lust. Things you don't need. You're not praying kingdom prayers. You're not praying your real needs prayers. You're not praying for forgiveness and to forgive. You're not praying about the issue of the devil who's really trying to mess you up. And so the paradigm that he's put before us helps us here, because he's saying, I've got a rational reason for praying. Now, folks, listen. There are a lot of things outside the paradigm that come into play when we know God. Remember Elijah prayed and God shut up the heavens and made them brass for 3 years? It didn't rain. What God did in that moment was he answered Elijah because Elijah was praying God's thoughts after him. God said, if you forgive me and you walk away from me and you leave off serving me, I will make the heavens brass. And so he claimed that. And Elijah prayed, God, these people are out of line. I'm the prophet of God in this day, and I'm asking you to not let it rain. And it got